The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right. Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
What a 9 months it has been for Steve Erceg in the UFC.
So many people tell me I have no stand-up or head movement. Now, I might not have proved that I don't have any head movement, but I can fucking strive, so.
Steve Astro Boy Erceg!
His UFC win streak is 5. He's fought 5 times in the UFC.
So now, I want your head, and after that, I'm coming to my belt. Let's go!
Kyle!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I today will be joined Steve Erceg, who is fighting Alexandre Pantoja this Saturday night for the flyweight championship. He's number 10, and I want to find out exactly when he got the fight. You know, it's only his fourth fight in the UFC, and he's fighting in Brazil for the flyweight belt. It's a tremendous amount of pressure, but it's also maybe there's no pressure because you know that you're or less pressure than normal because, you know, Alexandre is in his home. He's got the expectations. And also, Caio Barreiro, or is it Barreiro? I have to ask him how to say that because I heard different pronunciations.
I think it's Barreiro.
It might be. I never know with Brazilian names if the R is an H sound, like as in Henzo. But whenever I think it is, then I say it wrong. So I'll ask.
Caio Barreiro.
Barreiro, yeah.
It's fun to say.
It is a fun name to say.
Jimmy, not only is there fights this Saturday, I've been watching 2 new series.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what have you been watching?
Mm-hmm. Want me to tell you?
Yes.
Oh, you just asked me, so that's silly.
Sure.
One is Fallout on Prime.
Oh, I've had that happen.
Jimmy, it's based on a video game that I never played, really. But it's very cool. It's about, like, after a nuclear war, people go into, like, Fallout.
Okay.
And then they come out, the Earth's all fucked up, and it's more than that, but it's based on a video game. And again, it's for somebody who surprisingly is not familiar with the video game. I'm enjoying it. What an interesting show. But what knocked my D off, I clean it up a little in the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
In other words, knocked my socks off. I'll clean it up.
Yeah.
Shogun. Have you watched any of this?
No. People have been talking about it. I have not seen any of it.
Let me tell you. Ancient Japan.
Right.
Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You do a little bow.
I'd rather not.
You don't have to do it. I'll tell you, the first episode, I watched it in like 2 parts with my wife because it's like an hour and I get tired at night. You know that. I'm in now. They said it picks up after the 3rd episode. I'm only on the 2nd. I am all in.
And you already like it.
You know I'm not a big reader, Jimmy.
Oh, I know.
Besides, like, comedy. That's not my I don't know what that is.
I don't read much anymore anyway. I understand.
But my point is this. What an intriguing show. I loved it. I enjoy these characters. Already, it's setting the tone. Okay, I like this guy. Ooh, that guy I don't like too much. Ooh, he threw him in a bottling thing of water. That guy's boiling alive. I'm not really crazy about that guy who did that. That's me.
Sure.
I mean,
what's his name? The guy who threw the other guy, was it is Steve Johnson his name?
Well, no, well, he's a Japanese gentleman.
In Shogun, yes.
No, no, it wasn't. It was not Steve Johnson.
Oh.
Don't ruin my show, Jimmy.
I'm not. I just think that should be the name. Whoever threw the guy in the boiling water, his name should be Steve Johnson.
When I talk about Dune and I say Thade Ratha, you're like, ugh, Thade Ratha. I go, Jimmy, don't just, you're negative on a lot of things for being a.
No. Not at all, Matt. I think Steve Johnson throwing that guy in the water is great.
Hey, let's talk some fights before we get Steve Ursig in here. Steve Ursig's got a title fight coming up, and he's got three fights in the UFC.
12-1 overall, and it's crazy. That's what I want to ask him. I'm not exactly sure. They said he was eating KFC when he found out, so I do want to find out.
Why he wasn't eating Popeyes?
No, I understand that. I think KFC is the brand I would prefer, if you want the truth of it.
KFC or Popeyes, huh? The Colonel or Popeye?
I prefer the Colonel. I'm just used to it probably from just as a boy enjoying many, many chicken dinners with the Colonel.
Well, as a boy, my father took me to see Popeye the movie. It has nothing to do with this, but you have
not at all, no. Have you ever seen Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall? Sure.
I'll give you a little, to bring you back, I'll just say this. Not bad, not bad. I'll say sweet.
P?
Sweet Haven. Hold on. Oh. God must love us. It's a fun song. It plays throughout the thing. And when he meets his father, and his father has him tied up, and he's like, yeah, little brat, eat your spinach. And Robin Williams is like, nah. He goes, eat it. He goes, ah, I don't want to eat it, you little brat. He's like, ah, I don't want to eat my spinach. It was a fun little part. He's called him the Commodore, but it's really Popeye's father. Anyway, you guys can do your own research on the Popeye's movie. But we should talk about the new.
As a boy, but I don't remember the Popeye movie.
I saw it as a boy too. My father took me to see that. I take my kids all the time. They'll run out of, it all blends into one. But my father only took me a few times to the movies. He took me that. He took me to Indiana Jones. And he took me to Aliens. I remember all three. That might have been the three times he ever took me to the movie. But damn, were they good movies?
Ralphie
could pick them.
He picked good movies.
Yeah.
Co-main event, Jose Aldo coming out of retirement to fight Jonathan Martinez. What a great fight that is. And I wonder now, did they approach Jose, or is he, how long has he been retired, Matt? Do you know?
I know his last fight was Merab. And
when was that? And 2 years ago?
I guess so, dude. I was in the corner for that. And I remember being so proud of Merab, but
sure.
You know, that's the one guy Merab couldn't get down and really keep down at all. He keep that, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
And you know what's funny? Jose, he stopped after that fight.
August of 22.
So he stopped after that because that was like, all right, this is my last shot for the title. But then he probably saw Merab just go on, not lose since. It's probably like, all right, am I banking it on this? It wasn't really his bad. It was Merab's good. So he's
Merab's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Also, you guys get like, look, I can't imagine not doing stand up. It's a much different life than you had. But when that's who you are, when you've been fighting for so long, and like so many guys have said, your whole life is camp, getting ready for a fight or whatever the thought, like to all of a sudden not have that is got to be very difficult. That's why so many guys have a hard time giving up fighting. That's why so many guys fight years beyond where they should, because it's difficult to give it up. So I don't know, maybe Jose is dealing with that, or maybe like you said, he just felt like, no, but it has been 2 years, Matt, and he's 37. You know what I mean? 35 to 37, those are years you don't want to give up if you're going to continue fighting. So maybe they just went to him and said, hey, we'll give you a lot of money to do this. I just don't know.
I think he's good with money. He's still in Brazil, isn't he?
He is, I think so, yeah.
And I think he's wait a second. Steve Ursig just got
the challenger is in the waiting room. We should bring Steve Ursig in.
Yes, let's find out more about him.
Yeah.
That's the cutaway, Jimmy. They play the music.
Oh, let's find out. You gotta do like this. Let's find out more about him. And point.
And then point to the thing. And then they UFC Unfiltered. They don't do that.
They do. They should.
Oh, hello. Hello, Steve Erceg.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
How you guys doing? Buddy. How are you?
Now, Steve, is it true? Nice to meet you, man. Is it true that when you got this call, you were eating KFC? Is that true, my man?
100% true.
Jimmy goes, well, why wasn't he at Popeyes? They go, Jimmy, don't be.
It was a curiosity. Sometimes I ask inappropriate brand questions. Yeah.
We don't have Popeyes in Australia.
There's your answer. Also, so you're in Australia at a KFC, your manager calls, what happens?
I mean, my first reaction is to be surprised. Obviously, I didn't expect the call. And then, I obviously said yes. I'll never turn this opportunity down. And then the hardest decision was whether I finish the KFC or whether I throw it away. But ultimately, I decided to finish it.
You should have. You already paid for it. Now, when was this that you found out?
Yes.
I'd gotten back, say, like 2 days after I got back from the U.S. I can't remember what that was exactly.
How long ago? Like
Roughly how long ago from here?
Long ago from here?
Short camp?
8 weeks. 8 weeks ago.
All right. You got 2 months in.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not really short notice. That's
fair. Nah.
Right, yeah. You got 2 months to train for this.
Yeah.
Now, three fights in, were you surprised? I mean, you're doing fantastic. Were you a little bit like, whoa, wait a minute?
Yeah, of course. When you think about UFC journeys and stuff, you think about, working your way up from the lower tiers to the higher tiers, maybe eventually getting to the main card, that sort of thing. And I feel like I got a lucky break with my first fight, and I've been sort of thrust into a main event pretty quickly, so I'm excited.
So let me ask you, when your first UFC fight, which again was pretty recently, what was it? What you expected? Guys described the jitters, or the adrenaline dump. What was the first fight like for you? Because your journey here is very fast so far.
Yeah, honestly, it felt just like fighting on the local circuit. The level was obviously a little bit higher, but the fight itself actually felt the same. The only part that sort of caught my eye that was different was I was trying to ignore the crowd and ignore all the things that come along with fighting the UFC. But Bruce Buffer's ring caught my attention, and I was like, "Oh my god, that guy must be loaded." And then I was like, "Oh, refocus, stop thinking about things that aren't the fight."
Yeah, we got to tell Bruce to stop wearing such flashy suits and jewelry in the cage. It's gonna fuck guys up. This is your first main event.
Yes.
Is this your first 5-round fight
in the UFC?
Yep. Oh, in the UFC. So you've gone that distance before. What does it feel like doing the extra press and just the other stuff that comes with the main event that isn't related to being actually physically in the cage?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big guy for attention and that sort of thing. So it's all kind of new and weird for me, but I'm trying to take it in my stride and enjoy it as much as possible.
So you grew up in Australia, yes?
Yes.
Now, what is the first discipline you started with? When did you start your training, your martial arts training?
So I started at the same gym I started that I'm at now. It was different back then. So it was only a freestyle martial arts gym, which is kind of like MMAs, like Muay Thai, karate, a little bit of grappling, like all these different things put into it. But it was like a family gym. And then I wanted to fight, and my coach had done Muay Thai in the past, and he basically created the platform and opened up another site, created jiu-jitsu class, did all these things to sort of support my growth through the sport. And so that's how we've gotten to where we are.
Do you know, how did they come to you? What brought them to you? Cause there's other guys ahead of you. I know a couple of guys just had fights and, guys have fought Pantoja before, but do you know was there another fight that they were looking at, and what brought them to you?
I mean, I haven't had to talk with them or anything, but my guess would be that they're looking at Makayev. He had a really good performance, really exciting performance against Perez. I think he would have got the fight because his was, a little bit lackluster, and mine was exciting. They gave me the shot.
Okay. You think that last fight is what did it?
I think so.
Hey, Steve, just to get to know you a little bit, the audience likes to get to know you. What are you doing when you're not fighting, when you have a rest day and whatnot? What do you do? What do you like to do? Give us some hobbies you like.
During fight camp, I'm super boring. I don't do anything except for lay down and watch TV. But other than that, like if I'm outside of camp and stuff, I like going fishing. I like hikes, that sort of thing. I like being outdoors.
Fishing. What's the second one?
Hikes.
Hiking.
Hikes. Oh, you do that after rest. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
The fishing. The fishing. Man, I don't got the patience for that. And I don't eat fish. But what is it about the fishing? Relaxing? Is it relaxing? Is it just putting the bait on, putting it out?
It's more a competitive thing, I think, because the first time I did it, I was so bad at it. And I was like, there's no way all these people can do this better than I can do this. So I wanted to figure out how to catch these fish. And it's very exciting when you get a fish on the line and you're reeling it in. And I guess it's a bit to do with my competitiveness.
Yeah, I've always been a very, very bad fisherman. Like, I suck. I don't catch anything. I get impatient. I always have to shit when I'm fishing. I always find it very unpleasant. Do you find yourself just kind of getting to this relaxed headspace with it, or is it always frustrating when something's not happening?
It's definitely frustrating when things aren't happening, but I feel like I've always had, one more cast. I just can't get myself this, like, away from the water. It's like one more cast until finally I get something, or it's getting dark and it's probably time to go home.
Is it true you grew up a WWE fan?
Yes.
Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, yeah.
That's funny. Now, you don't take any of that over to your fighting? You can't, like, Michael Chandler gets the thing and he's doing some shit like that. You don't mess around with that?
Not really. Like, I do like to call my shot after fights and stuff like that, but I'm never really super disrespectful or anything like that. I'm not like the big showman or anything. I should probably do more of it, but yeah.
Yeah, you got to be you. Go, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Okay. I love how many UFC guys are real fans of WWE and vice versa. Those guys love UFC fighters. Do you like the crossover? Like, because it seems like it's a great place for fighters to go after. They can either do these boxing matches with Jake Paul, and certain guys can go into WWE and make a really good living there. You must love that crossover.
Yeah. I mean, I don't ever see myself doing a crossover for long term, but having like a little once-off event, that would be pretty cool. But yeah, anything where fighters can go and keep earning a living, I'm good for.
Did your attitude about wrestling change at all? Like, the better you got at actually fighting? Like, I mean, those guys are real athletes. What they do is very hard. They get hurt. I mean, it's fucking dangerous. I mean, there's no way to jump off a cage onto a fence and get hit with a chair and have it not fuck you up. But did your view of those guys change a little bit as you became a better actual fighter?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm a better fighter or just because I feel like the WWE is different now than when I grew up. So I can still look back at like old school stuff and, that's really cool. That's still fun to watch. And now I look at some stuff now and I don't know. I don't get into it the same way. So, I don't know if it's because I'm a fighter or not.
Well, you understand that walk to fight. Like, you understand the crowd. I guess the closer you are to understanding it because you live it, the less appeal it holds as this, like, you know what I mean? Like this fantasy thing, I suppose. Are you in Brazil right now?
I am, yeah.
You are. When did you get there? Have you been there for a little while?
Yeah, I've been here for, I think, 2 weeks.
And what made you want to get there so early? Do you always like to get somewhere very early, or was it just the magnitude of this fight? You wanted to be comfortable, and what was the reason?
Yeah, I always want to get to the country early enough to acclimatize and that sort of thing. And like the US, a week and a half seems to be fine just because the weather's pretty similar in that. But over here, I knew it was going to be quite humid. And we're 12 hours or 11 hours different to Australia. So I just want to make sure that not only did I'm acclimatized to the time, but I'm acclimatized to the humidity and all that sort of stuff as well.
Now, it's fair to say going into this fight that they're not going to be cheering for you. Now, what do you think? They actually might be cheering for your head. They have a certain rant they like.
Yes.
What's the deal being enemy number one? Because you seem like a really nice guy. How do you keep the focus when you're going into enemy territory, walking to that octagon?
Yeah, I am a nice guy, but like, obviously I punch people in the face for a living, so I can't be that nice, right?
Right.
I'm loving the fact that I'm going to get booed and Told to Die. And then when I win the title, I can't wait for bottles to get thrown at me. I think it's going to be a real cool experience, and it's something that you watch other UFC athletes do over the years, and I can't wait to be part of it.
Whatever you do, Jimmy, can I just say?
Sure.
Don't do what Colby did when he won over in Brazil. Don't be like, you're going to cry in your acai tonight. Don't say no stuff. You don't want to do that because they get a little scary over there.
And also, it's your chance to be a bad guy. Like, you know what I mean? You're being like, because everyone in wrestling loves a heel. So it's your chance to be a heel without doing anything, just by the nature of it. You're not Brazilian and you're fighting a Brazilian champion.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to make the effort to be a bad guy.
What do you think of him? And does, I mean, I know you like the fact that you're going to get booed. Ty Cobb said that when he would play baseball, the best sound he had, he said it wasn't even being cheered. It was the silence of the away team when you did something in their home, shutting their fans up. So is there something appealing about that too, is just taking 15,000 people and silencing them?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't experienced that silence, so I'm excited to see what that feels like, and I'll be able to speak more on it afterwards.
And what kind of pressure are you feeling? I mean, and do you think that he's feeling more pressure? Sure, he's the champion, but again, he's representing his home country. You're a guy that's only had 3 UFC fights, so there's pressure on you, but it really is. There's probably a lot more pressure on him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see how people look at it. Like, yeah, there's more pressure on him and stuff. But honestly, I imagine I feel just as much pressure as he does. I'm not coming in here to lose. It's something I've worked for my whole life. It's my dream, and I'm so close. And losing would be devastating. So I'm going to do everything I can to win. And yeah, I definitely feel the pressure.
Okay, yeah. So and you're going to be getting punched in the face. So you're not here just for a good showing. For you, if you don't win, it's not what you wanted, obviously.
Yeah, I'm here to win, and that's it.
Darn right you are. I know the next day if you got the call, you weren't back at that Popeyes, I'll tell you right now. I mean, KFC, you weren't back there. You were eating some broccoli and stuff. Man, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. This is a huge, huge shot.
I love a story like this. I love fights like this. Of course, Matt, you do, because greatest story like that ever.
Hey, man, underdog all day. I'm with you.
Thank you very much.
Let's go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck, Steve. Have a great fight. This is, he's a great champion. And you also have a beautiful left hook. I mean, you're a devastating fighter. And I'm very excited for this. A great main event. And congratulations, man. I hope you hear a nice, quiet crowd at the end of the night.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
Okay. Good talking to you, Steve. Thanks so much.
Tell your coaches to keep the car running. It might get scary. Take care, Steve.
Steve Ersig. Thank you, buddy.
Guys. See you later.
Good luck, man. Enjoy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever.
I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
I really like when you giggle at my jokes.
Well, your jokes are funny.
Stop.
Come on. But I like him. It's, it's almost like when, who did O'Malley fight? And I can't remember his name. He had green hair.
I think it was green and red afterwards, but yes.
You know what I mean? Like there was one, it's again, this is a much more pressure. Chris Moutinho, was that his name? You put Moutinho. I think that was it. Chris, yeah. Where when a fighter doesn't have as much tape on him or as much of a name. You watch his stuff, I'm sure, but the pressure is so much more on the fighter who is the name, and the other fighter can only come in and have an upset. You know what I mean? Like, I think that even though he feels pressure, when you went in to fight GSP, I'm sure you were nervous. Were you more nervous fighting him the first time or the second time?
The second time, it was more for this, not a confidence thing, but I'm not going to say I wasn't as prepared, but the camp for the first one, everything, I don't know, man. I know there's always nerves, but I had a strange calmness about me that first fight that was odd. And for the biggest fight of my life, it was, because you're always got the nerves, but I just love the underdog role. It almost had like nothing to lose. And I really felt
right.
I was very calm for that one for some reason.
But that nothing to lose thing, I mean, of course it's a fight and of course you want to be the champion, but knowing that the odds are against you, that does in a way take off like, hey, they all expect him to win. So I'm just going to go in there and fucking do what I have to do.
Yeah. But it was my movie, Jimmy. He was in my movie.
Right.
You understand? That's how I looked at it. My movie growing up, I love Rocky. I was living it. And I was playing it, you know, I was going to just ride that out. And if I failed, I'd fail miserably. But if I won, it was going to be the way I did. So
when you fought the second time, did you have a feeling like, okay, now I have the belt to lose? Or like now he's more like, what was your thoughts going into the second fight that was different?
I didn't feel one. When you're the champion, you got that. There's guys that are made to be that champion, taking on all comers. And I don't know. I don't think that was really my role. It wasn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I fought the best on the planet. BJ Penn, Carol Parisian. I went bell to bell with guys, the best on the planet before I fought George. So I was very confident. And I was always content on just knowing I could fight the best on the planet and more than hold my own. You know?
Sure.
So there's other guys. So it's like winning the belt was my – I won that thing. And then it's almost like, when I did something in a grappling world where I went versus the great John Jock Machado, it almost quenched that thirst of like, it's a weird thing. It's almost like, now what? Now I got to sit here and defend. I wasn't then there was some injuries and stuff. I was all right when I fought him, but it wasn't the same feel as conquering it. You know what I mean? Like winning that thing was if I had my movie, Jimmy, it would end with me winning the title. And then when they have the little thing, the writing, he'd lose the rematch, but he'd knock out Frank Trigg. There would be some stuff afterwards. but that would be the end of my movie. And then I'd live happily ever after, teaching at my school, and hanging out with my bird.
Now, you must be, are you loving having one school? I know that you liked your second one, but obviously it's less to worry about, right? Less problems with one.
I got my buddy John Rollo, big John Rollo. He does the Rogan podcast. He goes, me, Dean Thomas, and John Rollo do the Rogan podcast together.
Yes.
And and John, you know, he's a black belt on the Henzo too, and he's kind of doing like Henzo does. He has five schools now. You know what I mean? So he's that guy. And plus he's a promoter, Shogun Fights. And
sure.
Some people like a lot on their plate. And that's not just because he's a big guy, literally.
Yes.
But and that's what they do. They just grow. And then there's other guys that, like me, my school, I treat it more like a mom and pop. Like jiu-jitsu school, it's my show. It's a big school, beautiful. And what I find with one school compared to two, I don't got to split up my time. It's one big headquarters, one home base. And I know everybody. It's just so much better for me. You know what I mean? In my life right now.
Right.
Like my everyday life is just so much. It's so much fun. I love my routine. You know, this morning at 5:30 a.m., I went with my firstborn daughter because she has a match coming up. So she goes with me at 6 a.m, you know, and we're driving there and it's just, and then I'll tell you, the espresso starts kicking in and then AC/DC Thunder comes on. Thunder. Me and my kid are driving. And Jimmy, then I get there. She jumps on the elliptical. I go in the steam. And then we come down. I teach jiu-jitsu. Dude, it's so much. We were having fun today. Escaping from cross-eyed and getting a superior position and finishing yelling. I was yelling. People like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. In a good way. Sure.
Jimmy, you got to come and experience it.
I would love to. It's just hard for me.
That's a fun flavor. It's tasty.
I know. I would love to get out there. It's just the fact that it's so far from the city.
My daughter's match. Yeah, it's the same distance when I see
city
you.
Is. Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when I go to see you. But my thing is, I'll pick you up at the train. My thing is, when my daughter's match is over, and I, oh, shit, and I talked to your producer, and I told him my daughter's match is over the 19th, I'll have a lot more free time. I'll come in and hang out with you guys.
We would love that, yeah.
Nice invite to the Sam and Jim show on Sirius XM.
I don't care for the phrasing of it that way. Jim and Sam show.
Oh, what'd I say? I said Sam and Jim.
Sam and Jim show. That's fine.
Yeah, he should really, it's the Jim and Sam show.
I mean, it should be the Jim and Sam show.
How's Sam?
That's how I pitched it.
Speaking of a WWE.
They didn't care for that. Sam is huge in WWE. He's got an on-camera job now. He'll eventually be like a play-by-play guy or whatever if he wants to be. He knows everything about wrestling.
Some guys love that stuff.
They love it. I mean, and a lot of real athletes, not that the wrestlers aren't real athletes, but I mean a lot of other athletes love it. I mean, they just, DC loves it. Like, there's so many guys that just get into the characters. They love, you know, I'm not a fan, but I respect what it is.
I can't really watch it either.
No, but there are some cool moments. The Undertaker's intro is kind of a cool moment. And again, they're all great on the mic. Like, wrestlers are probably the best athletes on a microphone. You get Conor, you get guys in UFC who are great, but wrestlers have had to do so many of those fucking in front of audience promos. Those guys are all good talkers. They're all good at talking shit and getting interest. You know what you want to look at?
The Junkyard Dog.
No, the Shockmaster. Look for the Shockmaster. Have you ever seen the Shockmaster? Not that Shockmaster. No.
Oh, what's what? What, not the two-finger guy?
No, it's a wrestling promo that didn't go quite the way it was meant to go. It was a new character being introduced called the Shockmaster, and they were talking him up. And then he had his intro. It just didn't go as planned.
What happened to the Ultimate Warrior? Did he die, or is he alive?
I think he passed away. I forget his name, but he did. He died a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly.
What about King Kong Bundy?
I'm guessing he's dead just because of his size. He's a big boy.
He's a big guy.
He was a big guy. Let's talk about a couple of these fights, buddy. We got we mentioned Jose, Anthony Smith against Vitor Petrino. He's undefeated, 11-0. Anthony's 10. Vitor is number 15. I love Anthony Smith. Just doesn't give a fuck. He will literally fight anybody. What do you think?
I like Anthony Smith. I mean, he's
I love him. Yeah.
One. I mean, this Vitor Petrino, he's got no O's. He's 11-0.
11-0. He's got no L's. You mean? He's got no O's. That'd be a terrible record.
I'm so silly. He's got no L's. You know what I mean?
Yep. Beat Tyson Pedro decision back in March.
What's Anthony Smith's last fight?
I will tell you in 1 second, sir. Hold on.
Please, no rush.
Anthony has had so many. Anthony has had more losses than some guys have had fights. I mean, he's 37-19. Anthony Smith has been in there with everybody. And I don't say that in a shitty way. He lost to Khalil Roundtree. It was a third round TKO.
Speaking of that, not to get off the subject, but that's really ballsy of Jamal Hill to come back and fight Khalil Roundtree.
I love it, and I love that Jamal is taking that fight. You know, he wants to work his way back, I'm sure, to another title fight, and I still think he's a much better fighter than that. You know, again, he got caught by a guy who hits like a fucking sledgehammer. Thank you. He's telling us that he's coming off that loss.
Joaquin Silva versus Dracar Close on the early prelims. I mean, that's...
Yep.
Dracar Close is never boring.
No, he's never boring. He's 14-2-1. And that is the... Bonfim against Vince Pichel is a great fight. A second fight on the early prelims. And they're making these early prelims and prelims better and better. First of all, there's way more competitive fighters because UFC is so much bigger than it was. And they also seem to understand how they build talent so much faster than, say, boxing, because you watch guys on the early prelims, watch them on the prelims, and all of a sudden you know who they are by the time they've had three or four fights in the UFC. So I think the way they construct these is really, really smart. And their prelims are always great. They always have really, really exciting prelims. I mean, Paul Craig against Kyle Baheo is the first fight of the main card. I mean, Paul Craig's a great fight. So hopefully Kyle will be with us today.
Are we making picks? Make a few picks.
We can make a couple, sure. Let's do that. Where do you want to start?
Well, let us know when we have Kyle Baheo in here.
Oh, by the way, Michelle Pajeda against Ihor Potiera. That's a fight I am really, really looking forward to.
Why don't we do the whole main card like pimps?
100%. Why? Just so you can further pull ahead? Or do you want to give me a chance to catch up?
What are you talking about?
With all the losses I've had recently, it's like you're trying to give me a chance to catch up, and I appreciate that.
I feel good about it, though. We won't pick Kyle's fight until he gets
on. Not yet, until we talk to him. Right. Let's start with Michelle Pajeda against Ihor Potiera.
What's his last fight?
Hold on, he's 21-5. Let me see here. I'll tell you when his last.
I like Pereira.
One of my favorite guys to watch. So I can tell you now I'm picking him. Let's see. His last fight was Bryzek. And that was February. Fought in February.
How'd he do?
He won unanimous decision win. He had dropped two straight. He had dropped three out of four before that. So what's his record in the UFC? Let me see that. Do we know his record in the UFC, Jake, if you could, Potiera? Because if you're 21-5 and you lost three out of four, that means at one point you were 19-2. So I'm wondering, was it when he got to the UFC that he had a little trials and tribulations? I don't know why I said it like that, like a fucking old lady, but you know what I mean.
Pereira, second round knockout.
God damn you. You snuck that in because now it seems like I'm taking your pick.
Well, don't do that.
2-3 in the UFC. Okay. I'm going to take trials and tribulations. Shut up, Norton. I'm going to take – if Dana called me and fired me for that, nobody would argue.
Yeah.
He goes, what the fuck would you say that for?
I'd miss you.
Jimmy, I know, but I wouldn't even fucking argue with him. I'd go, you're right. I suck.
Tell me.
Taking Michelle Pajeda and...
I picked the second round. What are you picking? You want me to change my pick for you?
Nope. I'm going to take a decision because I think Potiera is in a pretty 2-3 in the UFC. He's in a spot that he has to win. Michelle Pajeda is on a 7-fight win streak. He's looked great. So I think you're going to see the absolute best version of Ihor Potiera here. So I say it will go the decision.
All right.
But that said, I would love it if he got a knockout or whatever, because I really like him.
I'm glad you really like him. All right, we got about picks. Listen, Anthony Smith versus Vita Petrino. Talk to me.
11-0.
Yeah, but has Vitor fought the guys like Anthony Smith?
No, he's not. He beat Tyson Pedro. Bukowskis. Pacino. He's fought some good fighters. But but who has fought the level Anthony Smith has? You're not going to find many guys in the UFC that have fought the level Anthony Smith has.
And when he's on, he is on.
He's devastating when he's
said
on.
That, I'm going to take Vitor Pacino by decision.
Yeah.
I'll let you pick first.
No, we can pick together because I think I'm going to do... how am I taking him? I am going to take Petrino. Can we see the age difference between these guys, Jake, if you don't mind? I'm curious. I may take him by stoppage. And I love Anthony. I don't want to see him lose by stoppage, but I don't want the same picks as Matt either.
Jonathan Martinez is interesting.
Yes. I'm just waiting for Jay to give me the ages. When you get a moment, sir.
Trino's 26. Young kid.
I'm going to take Petrino by a second round stoppage.
And Anthony Smith's 35.
Second round stoppage.
At 35. He's 35 years old.
I mean, a lot of guys do things at 35.
Like who? What are you talking about?
I mean, a 35. Lot of great fighters.
35, you might be headed towards 40.
Absolutely. Or you might retire. Jose retired, I believe, when he was 35, and he's coming back now.
I remember when I was 35.
Up, hold on. Hello.
Oh, you got a call? Knocking out Frank Trigg's ass.
All right. Kyle is in the waiting room. Go.
Get him in here. Let's go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever.
I've tried.
Would you like for me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, man. How are you doing? I'm very good. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
I just finished training. I'm sorry. I'm with this. I was sweating.
Hey, you look cool, man. And you got a fight coming up. It's all about you. How are you, Kyle? How you doing?
Thank you, brother.
Feeling good?
I'm very good. I'm very good, man. Feeling good. It's good to be talking with you again, right?
Yes, very good, man. Every time I see you, when I see that neck tattoo, I always say, like, all right, this guy is all into his sport. This guy's not going to say, you know what, maybe I'll leave this and I'll go be a dentist.
Did you see my new one?
What does that mean? What does that – I'm watching – first of all, I'm watching Shogun.
Wow.
So I see that. What does that mean?
This mean Bushido is the way of samurai, you know, and around it. Is the seven victories of the samurai, you know?
Let me ask you, Kyle, speaking of that, have you watched the TV show Shogun yet?
No, not yet. I heard about it, but I didn't watch. Actually, when I did this tattoo, the guy asked me the same question. I will watch for sure.
Hey, listen, if you're into samurai, woo!
Yeah, I love this. Japanese arts and everything I like.
Have you been to Japan? It's one of the places I haven't been to that I really want to see.
Oh, man. Actually, this is one of my dreams, you know, because I came from judo. I started judo at the age of 6. So judo is a Japanese martial arts. And then one of my dreams is to go to Japan. I will fulfill this dream very soon.
It's expensive. They say it's like an expensive city to visit, but I really want to go.
Yeah, but there's some places, you know, around the Tokyo, around big cities that maybe is a little bit cheapest, you know, it's more like a traditional way of visiting Japan, you know, maybe that's a little less expensive.
Yeah.
I like hearing about your judo background, especially with your next opponent. I mean, even though he's not a huge takedown guy, he likes to fall to guard a lot. If he wants to try to force you to the floor, Uchimata! I don't know. I mean, listen, listen.
Actually, Uchimata was my tokuiwaza, my favorite technique.
Was it really? That's got to give you confidence that if you want to just keep it up, hey, man, you're going to have to work to get me down. I'm not just a guy knocking people out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's no one that could take me down in the UFC, actually. Actually, Muradov kind of did it, but I took myself down just to play the guillotine, you know?
Yeah.
And what was the term you guys just used? What was the word you guys just used? Before that, it was, I think it was you just said something a minute ago and I didn't recognize it.
So the name is, Uchimata is the name of the technique.
What is that?
My favorite technique in Japan. They call it Toku waza is your favorite technique to apply, you know? So it's uchimata. It's a takedown that we put our legs in the middle of the opponent legs and throw him to the ground with our hips and our legs together, you know?
Okay. I may have seen it and just not know what it was called. And look, I know you're a big math guy. Like you have that type of a brain. Are you big into computers? And do you keep up with what's going on technologically in computers, or does not your area?
No, not that much my area. I do a little bit. I follow up a lot around cryptocurrency and stuff like that. You know, so
it's plummeting.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I crypto is the most frustrating thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like, you know why? Because it taps into my greed, because it was doing good and I was like, you should sell it. And I'm like, it's all a little more. And then now it plummets again. Crypto really does make greedy people unhappy, and I'm greedy.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to believe in a long distance, you know, 5 to 10 years, then it will be worth it, millions.
Hey, Cal, so you living in Brazil now still?
Yeah, I live in Brazil. Yeah, for sure.
How great is it that you're going to be a hero this weekend? You're fighting in Brazil. I mean, that's got to be a little bit more exciting for you than fighting anywhere else, or what?
Actually, it's very exciting to fight in Brazil. You know, last time I fought was in São Paulo, and I live in São Paulo. So it was an amazing feeling. Yeah, I fought against Abus in São Paulo, you know, and it was amazing feeling. All the crowd screaming my name. I was the only athlete in the night that people were screaming the name, you know. They were like, Caio, Caio. So it gave me goosebumps until now, you know. So now fighting Rio is even more special, because Rio is kind of a mecca of MMA in Brazil. And then we have Jose Aldo on the card. He's a pay-per-view card. I'm doing a main card. And most of all, we have two more guys from our team fighting in a pay-per-view card. You know, it's going to be three fighting nerds fighting in the same card. So this is awesome. The energy is like high as fuck, you know.
How far is Rio from São Paulo? How far is that?
By
an hour?
By
hour plane?
By airplane, it's less than an hour. I think 45 minutes.
When you fight at home?
By car, it's 5 hours.
Oh, 5 hours. Okay. When you fight at home or kind of within a few hours, like, do you like, because family and all these people start asking for tickets, do you feel like an additional, like you have more responsibility than just fighting and you don't mind that?
Actually, I have a big team with me, you know, so they take care of everything, you know, but people already know me, you know, they know that I'm very professional. I'm not here to play or do anything. Actually, to my close family, I bought tickets to everybody. So my grandpa would come in, my dad is here with me, my wife, my son, my mom, and my sister and my brother. So I just bought tickets to them. And then they're going to be watching, you know. But for sure, it's kind of a responsibility, kind of a pressure, because of fighting in front of the home crowd. But I just changed the meaning of pressure inside my head. You know, pressure for me is a privilege. So I'm the one who was chosen to be in the position that I am right now. So I feel like a privilege, not just pressure that is going to make me underperform. You know, the pressure is going to make me perform even better. That's the meaning of pressure that I put inside my head, you know? I like pressure.
Shit, yeah, man. Fighting is pressure. I mean, UFC is a different level with all the cameras in your face, but anytime you're fighting, we know what's at stake, you know? Hey, Cal, let me ask you. We know you're a family man. When you're not fighting or training, you have a day off. What do you like to do? You have any hobbies you like to do? Anything specific?
Yeah, by myself, I like to play video games, you know, I like to play chess on my cell phone. But most of all, I like to watch fights, you know. I'm always studying some tapes. I'm always studying the top guys in my division, because you never know when I'm going to face them, you know. So I'm always studying all the time. But now I'm a new dad, you know, my son is 7 months old. So all my free time I'm spending with him, you know. It's like one of the most beautiful things that I ever did in my life is this kid, you know. So every time I have a free time, I'm with him, I'm playing with him, watching him grow. I think this is my favorite hobby right now.
That's beautiful, man. You're doing something right.
Yeah,
5-0, and now what about, now you end up, let's say you end up in Paul Craig's guard, I'm sure you've been practicing from there. I mean, we've seen that Jamal Hill fight. He is a triangle freak. You've been practicing a lot in a closed guard, or I'm sure you're not just assuming you're not going to be there, right?
For sure. I'm playing that for sure. I know what he likes, you know. Like every time he caught a guy, the guy was trying to get rid of him, you know, to get away from him, and then he can grab the arm, he can overextend the arm, and then he can put his feet on the hips and then go to the triangle and the arm bar, you know. But we already saw Brandon Allen doing it, and I was always thinking about it. When you get to his guard, I'm gonna keep pressuring him all the time, you know. I'm gonna go there, I'm gonna put pressure on him. One second. Hey, galera! Hey. Tô aqui, mano. I was just practicing that, you know, just keep the pressure, close the distance. Don't make space for him to put his feet on my hips, and then his guard is dead.
That's someone who's doing their homework, Jimmy. Yeah. That's true, man. People try to get away.
You know, I'm a fighting nerd, you know, and the fighting nerds always do a homework, you know.
Yeah, you're very good at analyzing, and I'm not surprised. Are you a good chess player? Because you got such a mathematical brain.
I don't know if I'm a good chess player. I know how to play. I like to play, but I don't know if I'm that good, you know.
Do you find it relaxing and kind of a way to take your mind off of fighting? Is it just one of those things that your brain just goes somewhere else?
Yeah, for sure. When I'm playing chess or playing video game, that's where my mind just go away, you know. But as I said to you guys, I've been some few months without doing it, you know, because I'm all my free time I spend with my son, you know.
Beautiful. And yeah. Out of curiosity, what video games are you playing?
I really love Call of Duty, man. This is my favorite game ever. You know?
Can I tell you something right now? And this is going to change. This is going to change your life. You got the Meta Quest 3 is the VR, right? You ever hear of Meta Quest? Meta Quest 3. Listen to this game. I'm going to tell you now. Contractors Showdown. It's Modern Warfare in VR.
Oh man!
Telling you. You're going to play that. You're going to get your ass. You're going to throw it at the wall. You go, it's fucking
great. I'm going to get the bonus. And I'm going to buy a VR on this game just to show you.
And I hope you do. We will squad up, me and you.
Let's go, man. Let's go, Matt.
Jimmy, I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited for Kyle.
Great, great fight. Kyle, have a great fight. Always good talking to you. You're such a unique guy and such a great fighter. So, you know, good luck against Paul Craig. That's an incredible fight, opening fight of the card. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much, guys. I'm a really huge fan of you. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Kyle Bahio, thank you so much, Kyle. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, brother. And then he's going to check out Shogun. And he's yes. Like, Jimmy, I'm all in Shogun.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him more math questions. I'm fascinated with guys like, no, I just forgot them until not specific, but I suck at math so bad. I'm so fascinated with anybody who's good at it.
Maybe he wants Matt Arroyo as a corner man. What's the square root of that? And he'll be like, I know that. I hate that math in the corner.
Yeah.
I'd hit the guy with a stool.
So what do you say, Bahio against Craig?
I say Bahio by decision.
Let me see.
And I'm a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yes, you are indeed.
That Kyle Bahio, he does his homework.
Let me see.
Do that, and then we'll do
it. Yeah, I think decisions. I think he stops him. I say he's going to stop Paul Craig in the third.
Right. Says you. I like it.
I love Paul Craig, too.
I'm going to pick Jose Aldo by decision also.
And I was looking up Jonathan Martinez's last fight. Yes, he is. Let me see here. Where is Jonathan Martinez? I have fucking 10 windows open, so I apologize here. Let's see. Yeah, he's on a 6-fight win streak. I say he stops Jose in the second.
Ooh, look at you.
I love Jose too. I gotta pick a different than Matt, and it's also he hasn't fought in a couple years, so let's see. Now
Alexandra Pantoja
against Alexandre Pantoja against Steve Ursig.
I'm going to go with the champ, Alexandre, by second round sub. I said it.
Yeah. And now I can't keep thinking about my record and how poorly I'm doing in this competition. Because I do think Pantoja is going to win. Not because Ursig is not a good fighter, but because Pantoja has just fought a lot of people and he's just more experienced and he's a very good champion.
Yes.
But I'm going to take the underdog. I'm going to take the underdog and I say he stops Pantoja in the third.
Okay.
Putting my record at greater risk.
Well, listen.
But it's so bad at this point, it doesn't matter.
Let me see. Bonus points for Jim if he nails this pick. Why is that?
No bonus points.
Why is it?
No.
Jake, are you making up some shit?
Yeah. I don't need bonus points.
Jimmy, hold on a second. Jake, explain yourself. Are you just making up? Jake, what's the matter with you? Jake, jump in here. Why are you giving him extra points? Why is it? Who the heck are you? You're the producer. I'm Jake. I'm sorry.
That is true. You are.
Meant to be a question mark there. Oh, okay. No. No bonus points.
Agreed. No point. No extra points.
Ballsy pick.
It is a ballsy pick, but it's still, it's just a pick.
I think Jake's
If you would have picked him, I would have taken Pantoja.
Right. Well, listen, you know, we agree to disagree sometimes.
Sure.
What's up for you, Jimmy? Let's promote some stuff. So let's promote the fights first.
Tonight. Yes. Let's do the fights. This Saturday, UFC 301, May the 4th in Rio. The early prelims start 6 o'clock on Fight Pass, ESPN Plus. As well, the prelims are 8 o'clock on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. Main card, 10 p.m. ESPN Plus pay-per-view. This is a really good, it's a very exciting fight. An underdog, Steve Ursay against the great champion, Alexandre Pantoja. Martinez against the stepping out of retirement, Jose Aldo is the co-main. Smith Petrino is the featured bout. Pajeda against Potiera, and Michelle Pajeda never fucking fights in a boring fight. And Paul Craig against Caio Bahio as the opening fight on this main card, UFC 301, this Saturday night. Tonight, 7 p.m., Fat Black Pussycat. A week from Friday, I'll be in Pittsburgh, and a week from Saturday, Buffalo. And then I got Idaho and Portland coming up.
Jimmy, so Jay, you working out new material? You got your stuff? You got a new set? What's going on?
On the Wednesdays, I've been working out stuff, sure. I want to shoot stuff in September, maybe. So I'm like piecing everything together.
A new special?
I would like to, just for YouTube. I mean, no one will give a fuck, but I still want to do it. Just so I can be done with this material. But yeah, I want to drop a few more pounds and then shoot something.
Ooh. Oh, you want to look good for the show?
I want to look better, sure.
Well, when you look good, you feel good.
Sometimes, yeah.
Ooh, as I flex.
Sure.
Jimmy, I had so much fun today. I hope you did.
Me too. I had a ball.
Hey, man. I'll see you next week. I'll be watching the fights this weekend. And just so you remember the date, may the 4th be with you. He left. Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever.
I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.